Joining me in the studio now, two very special guests from the Waiheke Theatre Company. We have Elia Blakely, kia ora. And we have Olivia Monks.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for coming in. Olivia, say hello again.
Hello.
Oh. Oh, Olivia's not saying anything.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's better.
Oh, perfect.
Now we're all on. Sorry. Buttons, buttons, buttons. Welcome. These are two key core cast members from the upcoming production of It's a Wonderful Life at Artworks Theatre, which opens on the 29th. That's next Friday, is it?
Next Thursday.
Okay. Yep. We were talking just before we came on air about getting these dates right so people know. This is a well-known, much-loved Christmas play, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
It's not exactly, doesn't start off that cheerfully.
Well, no. It starts out with angels looking down on the life of a man called George Bailey, who is contemplating suicide on Christmas Eve.
Mm.
Yes, and they send down one of their lower level angels who is
who plays the lower level angel.
Well, I don't know last names.
Okay, all right. Keep going.
Well, yeah.
I don't know last names.
Well, no, that's fair enough.
In this situation, we'll call him Clarence. Clarence is a low-level angel who has something to prove, so he has to come down and show George Bailey that his life actually does have some meaning and things aren't as bleak as they appear.
Yeah, right. And that's a really great Christmas message.
Yeah, and the way that the story takes place is that it sort of does kind of like a weird chronological thing where in order to help Clarence understand what led George to this point where he's standing on a bridge about to throw himself in, you show the events of his life leading from when he was a young kid, and we've got a guy playing George, young George, all the way leading up to his adult life, and you know all the series of events that bring him to this critical point. And then from there, Clarence intervenes and tries to sort of change his mind a little bit.
Right. Thank God for angels.
Yeah.
And loving wives.
Oh, sorry. And of course, man. Olivia plays George's wife.
Yes, so I'm Mary Bailey.
Mary Bailey.
Yes. Ooh. So I just kind of help, I like to think bring a little bit of light into his life because I don't think he has a lot of it kind of nearing that point where he's about to throw himself off a bridge.
Mm. So this was a book originally, we think, about, and I know that it was a film in 1946.
Yeah.
So this is a really old, traditional Christmas play, but was challenging at the time, I imagine, and has now become a sort of kind of well-loved Christmas item.
Yeah, I was sort of told that it's the most loved Christmas story of all time.
Yeah, I've read that. I've read that
Wow,
in the deep research I do for my interviews. What was her name again? No, just joking. So that's a long time. That's what, 54 and 18? That's something like 72 years.
Yeah, it's a while.
So, look, a piece of theatre play or a book or whatever format it's in to last that long and still remain hugely popular, this is a classic.
Well, and I think it's a story that's still so relevant, you know, especially in this day and age where suicide is such an issue. And it's so in the news, like it's something that's so relevant, and this is a story that kind of brings up the issue but in a magical way. So you have the angels and you have the love story and you have all those things that make it.
That's the Mary and George love
story. Yeah, our love story.
Yeah, that's
they're looking at each other in the studio here. It's very sweet.
Well, it's kind of funny how that whole kind of dynamic between Mary and George works, because Mary, of course, is giving George so much and he is so undeserving, and yet
absolutely
he does that kind of typical man thing where he just so much of it goes over his head. I mean, she puts aside so much just to sort of show George's affection, and yet George is just sort of over all the way in dreamland. And well, it's kind of interesting because, like, you think about people.
Is this a male redemption story in a sense? Men learn to be a bit. I mean, this is 1946. We weren't exactly talking through our problems then.
Well, so the way I was sort of looking at it was that when you have somebody who's kind of having a difficult time, because where it ends up is that George is sort of shown that there actually are some good things going on in his life, and it's kind of good to sort of show that. In the events leading up to, you know, the big critical point is that he's ignoring so much of what's actually sort of working for him. And upon that realization, he actually comes home and is a husband to his wife and a father to his children.
So it is a journey of self-discovery and of the value of your life despite its sometimes bleak appearances.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and I think just realizing what is the value of life, right? Like it's not
about getting your values right.
Well, and just realizing it's not monetary, I think. One of the main things that gets him down is a lack of material success for his family. And
it's the Willy Loman story in a way, isn't it? It's Death of a Salesman. It's the Great American Dream.
And Willy actually succeeds in taking himself out. So that's
at the end he does, eh?
Yeah, that's much more of a tragedy than
it is. But that's Arthur Miller. That's this isn't Arthur Miller, right?
Good old Arthur.
Happy endings all around here.
Yeah, which of course is partly, I guess, why it's such a popular Christmas show. You couldn't have, you know, you couldn't send people home on Christmas Eve
crying,
completely miserable.
Absolutely no. Yeah.
So this is a happy ending.
Absolutely.
Yes.
promising us.
It's kind of interesting. When I was looking at the story very early on, I thought there were kind of some interesting comparisons between It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol.
Ah.
Because I mean, it's Christmas Carol. That's one with Ebenezer Scrooge, right?
Ooh,
Yes, it is.
Because you got this idea of this, this idea of this man who's very sort of very set in his ways, and life's not going so well for him. But over the course of like a single evening, there's this kind of divine intervention, and by the end of it, he's just completely reformed on Christmas Day, and is suddenly good to everybody. And I mean, with George, he's kind of like this person who's kind of very set in his thinking, and that kind of drives him to a critical point. And then over the course of a single evening, Clarence...
Everything gets re-examined.
Yeah, shows him what life would... Clarence shows George what life would be like without him in it. And you sort of see these people that George has sort of grown up with, and they're at the alternate reality of George not being there and not helping these people when they needed it, and he kind of realizes, oh, I actually did something with my life.
I am contributing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am contributing. Life seems set up in some ways to convince us that we're not quite good enough.
Mm.
But I guess that waking up on Christmas Day is when everybody's value is acknowledged.
Yeah. Well, and you open the bottle of champagne and you have a cheeky glass and you look back on the year, and I think it gives people an opportunity to really look at what they've done that year, and maybe in a more positive light than they would without the glass of champagne and without the presents and the joy and the Christmas tree, you know.
Yeah. We've got to have a moment where we stop, put the year behind us, and just try and be to live a beautiful day. I mean, that's I'm really looking forward to this. So, directed by Steph Wilkin, and quite a cast. I think
a large cast.
20 something.
The poster shot is gorgeous. The family shot of you guys is just wonderful. So, and it opens on Thursday.
It does.
And yes. I'm going to let these guys go back because they're right in the middle of dress rehearsals, at least late rehearsals.
we literally stepped out of the rehearsal room and into the recording studio.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to let these guys go back next door to Artworks Theatre, where they're in final rehearsals for the show. Opens on Thursday, and Olivia's desperately looking for when it closes for me.
Oh, no, not desperately. Of course I know off the top of my head. So it closes on the 15th.
It closes on the 15th. So don't leave this to the week before Christmas, because it won't be on. It'll be over by the 15th. So make your booking now.
Start Christmas early.
Great idea. It's a Wonderful Life. Adapted by Doug Rand. I knew it was a D. Adapted by from the original book, from the original film, actually. And the film, how do you feel following Jimmy Stewart?
Well, that's kind of interesting, because there's just a nature and a way of how people sort of spoke back then as opposed to they do now. And trying to sound like George was kind of, I needed to sound like I was from then, but not like that's because, you know, because Jimmy Stewart, he has a bit of a stammer, and he always talks like this, and he always sort of talks like with pursed lips and a half squinty eyes, and he's always thinking about things. So, like, in the end,
we should have got him to do the voices before.
Well, the voice that I sort of ended up with was kind of the time, but not Jimmy Stewart. I mean, the thing is that it's not about trying to be Jimmy Stewart being George Bailey. It's about being George Bailey.
About being George Bailey, of course, yeah. But that is a classic film, and it's been now adapted for theatre. And you guys are going to star it on Waiheke, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, Elliot and Olivia, thank you so much for taking time out of
rehearsal. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Oh, you're more than welcome. And we'll see you, if not on Thursday, then pretty soon after that.
Absolutely.
Looking forward to it.
All the best for opening night.
Great. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.